Luke chapter 8, verse number 41. He's asked to heal his 12-year-old daughter. And on his way, there's a throng that presses him. And it says the crowd thronged him. And when you look up that word throng, it means they pressed him. So they're in this narrow street in Jerusalem, and there's so many people that it's a pressing crowd. And they're working their way through. Our Lord often found it difficult to move through the streets because of the masses of people that pressed upon Him. The excitement of the crowd, though, I think never sidetracked our Savior. I think we're kind of encouraged by a crowd. I think our Savior was much more level-headed than that. We're all, look at all the people, yay, yay, the crowd's all here, the party's here. Jesus knew at this time that in 2 years, this same crowd would be screaming, crucify Him in 2 years. He knew how fickle the human heart is. They're for me today, but they're going to be against me here in a little bit. So I don't think Jesus was what you would call absorbing the moment. I think He was very aware of what's going on. In verse number 53, where there's when He goes into the house, some in the family, He has to leave the crowd outside, leaves the crowd that follows Him to Jairus' house. When He gets inside, they're saying, you don't even have to come in now, she's dead. And He said, be of good cheer. He said, don't weep. He said, she's just asleep. And it says the family, those that were in the house, keep in mind, He left the big crowd outside, shuts the door, and now the family laughed. Verse 53, laughed Him to scorn. Do you know what that means? They started making fun of Him. How do you do? He's there. I know they didn't fully know who He was, but when He says, she's asleep, they mocked Him. That type of laughing to scorn means, ha! He thinks He's going to heal her! Ha ha! What they're doing to Him, He has to take the family then. He's already got the big crowd outside. He then has to take the family that's laughing at Him and set them outside also. Okay, can you all leave the room? And He walks up to the girl and raises her from the dead. Then it says they marveled. I'd like to see the look on the faces of those that were making fun of Him before He raised the girl from the dead. That's always kind of nice. I'm sure your ears would have popped because they would have, you know, sucked so much air. Nothing is recorded about this pressing crowd that came and went other than one somebody. He said, who touched me? And I think when the disciples are, they're going, Lord, everybody's touching you. What do you mean? He said, somebody, doesn't say her name. Somebody touched me. He said, because I felt virtue or power go out of me. The name of the sermon this morning is called An Expected Touch. An Expected Touch. Somebody. Their life was changed forever because this lady had made real contact with the Lord Jesus Christ. What caught Jesus' attention wasn't the crowd, it was this one woman who was blessed and healed. This morning, I'm glad for everybody here to be in church, but there's as many reasons for people to be here this morning as there are people. I don't think that anyone is here for a bad reason, praise the Lord. Okay, I think everybody's here for a good reason. Many are here because it's their habit and their custom to be in church. They want to be in a church that teaches and preaches the Word of God. And that is a good habit to be in. I think when you're out of church, you ought to feel funny. Even when I'm sick, there's been a couple of times I was sick, I'm throwing up and could not be here. I think if you're laying on the couch and you're not where you're supposed to be and where you're used to be, it ought to be a habit to where when you're not in church, you feel spooky. It just ain't right. I ought to be in church. That's my habit. That's where I'm supposed to be at this time, every week. I'm in church. That's a good habit. They believe it's wrong to not be in church. It's a sin. All of us can get backslidden from time to time. And some take the habit, I think, concept so far that, they wouldn't think of missing. They aren't really interested, though, in what's going on. They're just here by habit. They're in a rut, and they've taken the habit idea too far. They only participate in the exterior service, but never in the heart of the service. They're glad when the sermon is short, but their goal is not really to get close to Jesus and make real contact with Him. That's not their goal. It's not why they're here. They have other reasons why they're here, and they're not, I don't think, bad reasons, but it's not the best reason. They're here in an outer professionalism, like a business. They're content with the outward show, but not the inward spirit, because they're backslidden, and that we all get backslidden from time to time. To them, it's just a mechanical religion. It's mechanical. Luke chapter 8, verse number 43. Here, this woman and a woman having an issue of blood 12 years. I love this. Which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any. I just wish one thing. Every time I read this verse, she spent all of her money on doctors. In this case, we know the story. She gets healed. I just wish more Christians, Jesus wasn't the last thing that they tried. She spent all of it. This is a poor lady, and she's poor. I really wish we would pray when we get sick. I'm not against medicine and drugs. I take some, you know. Praise God for NyQuil when you get the flu, you know. Maybe I shouldn't say that, but I do take the prescribed amount, you know. I wish when we got sick, I wish the doctors weren't our first run to. I wish people knew how to take care of their bodies. When I start getting sinus stuff, my voice is very important. That's what I do. I speak. I can't afford to get my, so I do that nasal wash thing, you know, it goes up in here and comes out here, and I do it over the sink, and my wife, it gives her the heebie-jeebies, you know, she'll watch and she, it's really good, honey, it works really good, want some? No, you, I do that, I don't get nasal infections. I start getting sick, and then I do that, it's very simple, it's very inexpensive. I wish people knew how to take care of their bodies. And I think that's a lost art. This woman had spent all her living upon physicians, and neither could be healed of any, came behind him and touched the border or the hem of his garment, and immediately her issue of blood stanched, or her hemorrhage stopped. She was hemorrhaging. It doesn't say where. She had an issue of blood. It could have been in the viscera. It could have been a wound. It just said she had an issue of blood. She was hemorrhaging. She had hemorrhaged for 12 years. And then she's made whole. I like when you read the story in Matthew 9:20. Just stay where you're at. But it says, "And behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. For she said within herself, if I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole." Everyone in this crowd, everyone didn't come needing a miracle. But like this woman, some did. And I like to look at our church that way. Everyone didn't come this morning needing a blessing for their soul, but some did. Some have to have it this morning. Some have to hear from God. I need God's touch. I need through that book what only God can do. Everyone didn't come seeking direction in life, but some did. You see, you contact the Lord through His Word. You contact the Lord through His Word when you want to. How come everybody in the crowd that day wasn't blessed? How come everybody in the pressing crowd that day didn't have something wonderful happen in their life? Because one lady had an expected touch. If I can just touch his garment, I can be made whole. I've got to get to him. It doesn't say, but I think she was probably knocked down several times. I think she had to fight to get to him. I'll show you that here in just a little bit. You contact the Lord through the Bible when you want. Doesn't it say in the Bible, Proverbs 8:17, "I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me." Proverbs 18:1 says, "Through desire, a man having separated himself seeketh and intermeddleth with all wisdom." How do you get wisdom? You gotta want it. It doesn't naturally happen. You gotta want wisdom. How do you get close to the Lord? You gotta want Him. You have to desire Him. That's how come David was a man after God's own heart. He wanted God's touch. "God, I want Your presence. I want Your direction. I want You to show me what to do." And God says, "You're seeking after Me." Christian, this morning, I think God can do anything in your life that you need done if you, not watch this, I'm not talking about the power of positive thinking. I'm talking about if you'll seek Him through His Word. You gotta want it though. You have to want it. I'll show you here in just a second. She wanted it. Jeremiah 29:13 says, "Ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart." You don't find God with your mind. Your intelligent quota, IQ, has nothing to do with it. Your heart does. You see, my goal is not for you to simply hear a sermon this morning. I want you this morning to contact Christ. I want the Holy Ghost to work in your life through the Word of God. God saved you by His grace. When you place your faith in the finished work of Christ, then God gives you more grace after you're saved to touch Him and walk with Him like this lady. Out of the whole pressing crowd, this woman was the only one who left blessed because she had made real contact with Jesus Christ. She wasn't satisfied to be in the same vicinity or area around Jesus. She had to touch Him. It wasn't easy for her to touch Him. I told you, she had to fight to do it. She was poor, weak, and sick because she was hemorrhaging. She was losing blood every day, and she had been. So you knew, I don't know. They always tell you when you give blood at the donor, you know, you're not supposed to be, you're supposed to be careful. What always follows after you give one of your pints of blood that you got running through your veins? You always feel weak. I don't know how weak this woman was, but she was poor, sick, and she was weak. And she had to fight to get to Christ. She'd probably fallen down. She was pushed. She'd probably been stepped on. She's a real testimony this morning to our desire to be with the Lord. You see, it's easy to get close to Jesus. Okay? It is easy. However, it does take desire. You see, if it was natural, then everybody would be a great Christian with a powerful Christian testimony. But everybody isn't that way. You know why? Because everybody doesn't want it. It's easy to kneel and pray, but it isn't easy to reach Christ in prayer and touch Him. The devil has the easiest way to distract us these days with digital gadgets, phones, TV, all of that. That's why we sing the song in the hymn book, "I am resolved no longer to linger, charmed by the world's delights. Things that are higher, things that are nobler, these have allured my sight. I will hasten to Him, hasten so glad and free. Jesus, greatest, highest, I will come to Thee. I am resolved." I'm going to resolve, and I'm going to fix my condition, and I'm coming to Christ. We sing the song. It's a good song. I like that old hymn. You see, no one loves the Lord and gets close to Jesus by accident. You love Jesus this morning as much as you want, and you're as close to Jesus this morning as you want to be. That's the wonderful part of the Christian life. If the person sitting next to you is backslidden, you don't have to be. It's your choice. Amen? Isn't that good? I didn't say the person next to you was backslidden. I said, if the person next to you is backslidden. I was trying to make a point. He said, you're backslid. I didn't. Okay, ready? Here we go. Notice, first of all, look at Luke 8:47. Look at verse 47. "And when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling, and falling down before Him, she declared unto Him before all the people for what cause she had touched Him, and how she was healed immediately. And He said unto her," I'm at Luke 8:48, "and He said unto her, daughter, be of good comfort, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace." Okay, listen carefully. I don't know if you understand this or not, but according to Leviticus 15, this woman was ceremonially unclean. God said if anyone had an issue of blood, they were not allowed in a crowd. And if the Levitical law had been enforced, she was supposed to stay in her house, but she knew she had to get to Jesus though. He was the only one that could heal her. But by law, by the rules of the book, she was supposed to be in her house. She was ceremonially unclean. She couldn't expose herself to anybody. Here she is though. She had no right to be in the throng. And yet now she's wandering about the street seeking to touch the Holy Savior that she knew was God Almighty in the flesh. Can I just tell you this morning, I can use this and I can say, if you feel you're not fit to touch the hem of the Savior's garment because you're so unworthy, humility gets our Savior's attention. In Isaiah 66, God says, "Thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that ye build unto me, and where is the place of my rest?" Watch, "for all these things have my hand made, and those things have been, saith the Lord." Watch, "but to this man will I look." You know what gets my attention, my glance? "Even him that is poor and of a contrite spirit and trembleth at my word." God says, when you humble yourself, God says, that gets my attention. Look at how humble they are. When you come to the Word of God trembling and say, "God, I don't deserve it, but Lord, I need You and I got to hear from You today. And God, please, I need..." God says, "You want Me? You really want Me? To this man will I look." Beautiful verse. If you feel this morning that there has never been a more worthless sinner in the house of God as you, then guess what? Jesus Christ is for you. Then grace is for you. You humbled yourself. Your plea cannot be righteousness, but guilt. Jesus heals the sick, not those that are whole. The Lord Jesus does not save the worthy. He saves the unworthy. As a child of God, if you're ashamed of yourself, Jesus is not ashamed of you. I like that. I love the song, "Just as I am, without one plea, but that Thy blood was shed for me." I love the song, "Just as I am, I have nothing to claim." You see, the more unworthy you feel yourself, the better. If you're filthy, Christ can wash you. If you're disgusting, Christ can make you beautiful. And if you're totally ruined and undone, Christ is your salvation and your strength. Notice that just her touch of faith healed her. I love it in Matthew 9:21. She said, "If I may but just touch His garment, I shall be whole." She didn't grab at His feet. She didn't embrace Him and hug Him. She just touched the hem of His garment. Hebrews 11:6 tells me, "Without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." Faith is what God's looking for in all of us. God says, "Do you believe I can help you?" As you read through the Gospels, you know, the blind man, the two men that were too blind and come up, "Jesus, Thou Son of David, have mercy on us." And He said, "Believe Thou that I can do this for you? Do you believe I can heal you?" Then He touched their eyes and they saw. "According to your faith, be it unto you." And it's over and over again in the Gospels, "according to your faith." Do you believe I can help you? Do you believe I can strengthen you? I love those verses. I love thinking about that. You see, in faith, you reach out to Him like this woman did. Just to touch His garment. "All I need to do is touch the hem of His garment." In faith, you listen to Him speak loving words to you as you read His Word. In faith, you know He'll let you sit at His feet and lean your head on His bosom, His chest, like John. Even if you come trembling, come and reach out to Jesus. "My Creator is the highest when I, the creature, am lowest. When I am less than nothing in vain, then Christ is more fair and lovely in my eyes, because I'm so filthy and unworthy." One of the best ways of climbing to heaven is on your hands and knees. I'm not talking for salvation now. I'm talking about growing in the Lord. You see, the more empty I am, the more room there is for my Master. The more I lack, the more He gives me. The Lord doesn't raise me when I'm up, but when He finds me down, then He loves to lift me up. I love that verse in Psalms. "He's the lifter up of my head." And when I'm discouraged and my head is down and I feel defeated, He is the lifter up of my head. He's the one who encourages me. That's also in the book of Psalms. She didn't touch any of the apostles. She touched Christ, the Master Himself, with a real touch of faith. She was physically made whole because she came in real contact with the Lord. By faith, You trust Him for salvation, and by faith, you rest on Him and rely on Him after you get saved to give you the blessing your soul needs. Think about this. Look at Luke 8:43. Ready? Luke 8:43. Look at Luke. Okay, that was tying me up there. Look at Luke 8:43. And a woman having an issue of blood 12 years, which would spend all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any, came behind him and touched the border of his garment. I think she was crawling, because I don't think she walked up and then bent over and touched his touched the hem of his garment. I think she was already on the ground and she was scrambling to get to him. And then she reached out and touched the hem of his garment. Verse 44, came behind him and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her issue of blood was stanched. And Jesus said, "Who touched me?" When all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, "Master, the multitude thronged thee and pressed thee, and sayest thou, who touched me?" And Jesus said, "Somebody hath touched me." Let me think about this. When you touch the Lord and you make real contact with Him, there's two people who know it. You and the Lord. When you come to Him for salvation and you place your faith in Him, you know the Lord knows you have been born again, and you know you've been born again. When you come hurting because of sin and you seek to touch the Lord Jesus Christ, when you want only Jesus by faith, the Lord knows it and you know it. Nobody else in the crowd knew it. I said this morning, I don't know the woman's name, but Jesus said, "Somebody." I think that's beautiful and timeless, because I can put my name there. And if I want to touch Jesus, I can. He'll let me. He'll let you this morning. I think, okay, if I come to Him with an expectant touch. When you touch Christ, His healing virtue touches you. The Lord knows the older Christians, and the Lord knows the younger Christians. Some struggle with doubt. Come to Christ and make real contact with Jesus Christ, and He can heal you of your doubt. Some struggle with bitterness this morning. You know what bitterness is? It's when something happened in your life and you haven't let it go. What is bitterness? It's prolonged unforgiveness. Some struggle with doubt this morning. Some struggle with bitterness. I've heard people talk. I hear people talk. And it lets me know as a pastor, if they don't forgive, it's going to destroy them. You don't know what somebody did. You don't know what they said. You're bitter. Do you know how you get rid of the bitterness? It's a sickness. It will destroy you. It will destroy you and rot you from the inside out. It's just like an infected wound. It's fine until it's touched. Then the swelling and the redness gets brushed up against something. Somebody, "Ow! When did that happen?" 10 years ago! Do you know why it's so swollen and red and infected? Because they haven't dealt with it. And every time it's touched, this happens in every church I go to. All churches are the same. You're bitter. You're bitter. How do you get healed? "He hath borne our sorrows and carried our griefs." And I love it in the book of Matthew when it's reading, "He hath borne our sorrows and carried our sicknesses." Sin's a sickness. When He healed one of them, He said, "Thy sins be forgiven thee." And they said, "He's blasphemed." He said, "What's easier, to say your sins are forgiven or arise and be healed?" He said, "It's the same thing. You're sick because of sin, and sin is a sickness. And He's the only one that can heal it." This morning, if you're bitter, do you know how you get healed of the bitter? You come and you touch the hem of His garment. You got to reach and you got to want it. But if you'll reach out by faith, He can heal you of your bitterness. Christian, it's available if you want it. See, notice what the Lord said. Look at Luke 8:45. And Jesus said, "Who touched me?" Who? Who touched me? When all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, "Master, the multitude thronged thee and pressed thee, and sayest thou, who touchest me?" Jesus said, "Somebody hath touched me, for I perceive that virtue or power is gone out of me." When you touch Jesus, I'm going to make this conclusion this morning. When you touch Jesus, He wants you to tell other people. Where is that somebody that touched me? Somebody came up out of this whole crowd and I felt... He said, I want to know who that is. I think he knew who it was. Because he's God.
Amen.
However, he wanted the person who was touched to come, and it says she declared unto him before them all, it was me. I've been sick for 12 years. Nobody could heal me, but I just touched you and you healed me. And Jesus wanted her to testify what he had just done. I think he knew somebody touched me. And you know what he was saying? Speak. If I've touched you, talk. Tell someone how. Tell someone what I've done for you. If we do that, it's self-aggrandizing. But when the Savior does it, he's saying, testify of me. Speak. Tell others what I've done in your life. I want everybody to hear what I've done for you as your Savior. To do what? Encourage them to come and touch. If she got healed, then how many other people in this pressing crowd needed to come up and touch his garment also? I cannot help but I can't, as I think into the story and pray, and I can't help but thinking if Jesus is saying, look, she's not the only one I can heal. Now that day, she's the only one who walked away blessed and healed. But I think Jesus is saying, there's other people in this crowd that need what I did for her. And if she'll talk up, I think others could say, I want to touch also. I want to make real contact with the Savior. I want to make real contact with the Savior. You see, when you get saved, you make your salvation public. Matthew 10:32 says, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. There's nothing in the Bible that says after you get saved, you're supposed to come forward and fill out an orange card. Okay? This is a joke, kind of. I'm trying to get your attention, all right? But there's nothing... Well, where's in the Bible that it say I'm supposed to fill out an orange... It doesn't. But you are supposed to confess Christ before men. And you can put an ad in the paper. That'll cost you about $350 for a quarter-page ad for one day. I know, because we did it for a different thing. But it'll cost you $350. You can put a speaker on your car and announce to everybody you got saved. But the way they've done it in the Baptist church for the past 2,000 years is when you get saved, then when you come to church, you make your salvation public, you fill it out, and then you announce before a bunch of saved people that you've trusted Christ. And those who've trusted Christ rejoice with you. And they say, I used to be lost too, and I trusted Jesus, and I'm so glad you got saved. So when you get saved, we're supposed to testify of our salvation. And we're supposed to... So if you've been saved and you've not made your salvation public, you need to do that. You say, why? Because you're not ashamed of Him. And it's good for others. It encourages other Christians when they say, I was lost. Now you're saved too. Oh, we have something in common. That's great. Here... Also, when Jesus heals you after you get saved and works in your life, He wants you to testify. I put down Mark 5:18. Just listen. After He healed the maniac of Gadara, when He was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed Him that He might be with him. Can you imagine that man? For years he'd run around and it says he was cutting himself in the tombs. Just like the occult do. They cut themselves and they seek to destroy themselves. And he probably had cuts and gashes and dried blood all over. It says he ran in the tombs naked. And then they came and they found him that was possessed with devils sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. And when he got into the ship to leave, that maniac, Gadara, demonic possessed man came. Jesus said, oh, you set me free. I want to go with you. And Jesus did not make him one of his disciples. I think that's amazing. Don't you think it would have been a powerful testimony? Jesus, this is what Jesus said. Go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. Can I just tell you this morning, I learned something from this story. When you're touched by the Lord, God wants you. It's good to say a testimony is where we testify what God has done in our life. God answered my prayer this week. I've been praying for 3 weeks. That's a rejoicing. That's what fellowship is. Fellowship isn't griping or tearing down one another. It's saying, look what the Lord did in my life. I love it when a Christian goes up to another Christian and says, God spoke to my heart this week. Have you read that part in Isaiah where it says, if you wait on the Lord, you mount up with with wings as eagles, and He renews your strength? Oh, that meant so. I don't know what you read this week. But it's good for you as a Christian to tell another Christian, guess what God did in my life? He heals that woman and he says, somebody, I think he knew who it was, somebody touched me. Where are you at? And that woman, it was me. It was me. I'm healed. And I think Jesus is saying to the crowd, is there anybody else that needs a touch this morning? Is there anybody else that needs healing and needs a blessing? This morning, if you've touched Christ, tell others about it so they can be encouraged to come and touch Him too. Do you understand this morning that whatever your need is, Christ is the answer? I'm going to just ask a couple of questions, then I'm all done. What made this woman different from everybody in the crowd? I think, first of all, she believed Jesus could help her. I think second of all, she knew Jesus was the only one who could help her. She was at her, and I'll say it again, I don't know why Jesus has to be the last person we go to. I think prayer ought to be the first thing you go to. But instead, after we've spent all of our money, and after we've done this and tried that and done this new thing, well, I guess I could pray. You could have done that at the start. And saved yourself a lot of hassle, but the Lord has ways of showing us all that we need Him. Next, this woman didn't care what the crowd was getting. She knew she had to make real contact with Jesus. And when she did make contact with Him and He healed her, she didn't tell anybody at the first until Jesus wanted her publicly known. She was out to touch Him. I believe this passage would affect your prayer time. You say, how? You can either come to the Lord. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I say that before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. Amen. Okay, I've prayed. You can either go through your prayers ritualistically, or you can go through and you're waiting for His touch. And it becomes less mechanical, and you pour out your heart before Him, and it'll change your prayer life. When you pray, you're trying to touch. You're not, okay, it's time for me to read my Bible. Okay, that's done. Now it's time to pray. Okay, next. And we just get in this rut. This woman, she didn't have time for that anymore. This will change your Bible reading time. Whenever you come to the Bible, never come without a pen. You know what this tells? You know what this tells God? When I come, I never read my Bible without my pen. I gotta have I call this a brain. Write it down or you forget. Ready? Okay. Never mind. Okay. Yeah, I always come to God with a pen. Do you know why? Because when He gives me something, I want to write it down. Lord, if You speak to my heart, I'm going to write it down and then I'm going to think about it. And Lord, I'm going to try to pass it on. A pen, when you come to your Bible and read it, a pen says to God, God, You give me something and it won't go to waste. I won't forget it in an hour. I'm going to write it down. I'm going to mark. I'm going to highlight. I'm going to make notes. Lord, I promise You, all I'm trying to show You is this will change your Bible reading time. Rather than, what day is it? Okay. Okay, it's that Psalm, that Proverb, that chapter in Acts, and I'm reading here in the New Testament. It'll get you out of the rut. I'm just trying to encourage you this morning in a funny way. Okay? Do you expect God to speak to your heart when you pray? Do you expect God to speak to your heart when you read His Word? Can I just ask you a question this morning, like this woman? Do you expect God to use you where you work? I knew when I put on my welding gear and I was working in that fab shop, when I hit those doors, if I was feeling, I felt sick sometimes. I had fever. I went to work sick, did all that stuff. But when I hit those doors, I was whistling or singing. I didn't get to lead all the men to Christ on day shift. I did get to lead three of them to the Lord. There was 13 of them that worked day shift. I got to lead three. One of them said, every time you come to work, you're happy. Lost people were watching me. They knew I was going to Bible college. I had a testimony. I took it very seriously. They didn't need to see me taking things at work. Well, they're not going to miss this. And you know, I need some of those too. And I did lose my half-inch box end wrench. Boss has about five of these. That's called purloining. That's where you take stuff from the boss because he'll never miss it. That's stealing. You know how many people do that on the government job? Well, they got 3,000 bolts. They're not going to miss five. Somebody watched you do it. And you lose your testimony at work. Do you expect God to use you where you work? Do you ever pray, dear God, help me with my testimony and help me. Please, Lord, I got to work here 8 hours a day. I thank you for the job. But Lord, these people, you put me here to influence them. Do you expect God to use you where you work? You should, and you should pray about it also. It would be nice if when you spent time with the Lord, God said, after you were done with your Bible time and your prayer time, you touched me. And virtue went out of me. You came to me expecting. Who taught you that? This woman who had a hemorrhage of blood for 12 years made real contact with Jesus and just touched the hem of His garment. This morning, the name of the sermon is An Expected Touch. It deals with an aspect of faith. You come to faith for salvation. You come by faith. And after you get saved, you never stop coming to Him by faith. Reaching out, I've got to touch Him. He's the only one who can help me. Let's pray. Father, please use this truth this morning. Lord, thank You for how You worked in her life. How You worked in somebody's life. How You healed.